Oh, hey, you found Genspired the podcast. Welcome back. I am your host, Jennifer Batog. Before we begin, a little reminder that I'm not a medical professional nor a licensed therapist. I am, however, a spiritual being having a human experience right along with you. Please trust and use your own judgment, discernment, and intuition when listening to these episodes, as you'll know what feels right for you. These episodes are based on some of my own experiences, spiritual journey, and knowledge. I trust they will find the collective of people meant to hear them. All right, let's get into it. Let's get Genspired. This past week, I was watching someone on YouTube who has taught me so much about what I've been feeling, seeing, and experiencing. I look to her for guidance at times because that's what we're here to do as humans, learn from each other, and then share that knowledge. This allows others to learn, thus creating a wave of awareness. We are all a collective and a community, so we're here to help each other and help celebrate one another. During this particular episode, she was talking about some tips she's learned over the years to help those of us who may struggle at times with meditation. And during the 20-minute episode, I was immediately inspired to write this podcast. I got up, grabbed my laptop, and it started to flow out of me. Mindfulness is an absolute flex, especially right now in this day and age. Being mindful and present is such a flex. Our society right now has ingrained in us this thought that everything has to be quick and instant and go, go, go. It's programming and teaching us to be numb and not take too much time to realize what's happening or what's going on. We've come so far from where we were, we've actually forgotten how to exist. How to simply just be. So with her inspiration, I'm about to give you my take and my own experience as to why mindfulness is a flex. For those of us lucky to be born before modern technology took over the planet, you can remember with me a time where connectivity, connection, and togetherness was an actual thing. If we wanted to talk to someone, we had to pick up a phone and speak to them. If we wanted to have a party, we would send out actual paper invitations in the mail. We made homemade Valentines and everyone in class got one. And during summer break, our faces were sun-kissed, not dampened with blue light. This was before reality TV, social media, and anything else on the airways started to infiltrate our thoughts. When we left our houses, we didn't have phones. Imagine that. We left, and that was that. We went about our lives not worrying if someone called us or texted or sent an email. We had a plan for the day, so when we left the house, we just ventured off. We didn't have the background noise or device literally attached to our hands. We were free to roam about, free to explore, and free to just exist. We existed with our thoughts. If we had to wait for a bus, we waited for our bus with our thoughts. If we were at the airport, we just sat there with our thoughts, or we read a book, or lo and behold, talked to the person next to us. We existed with other people without distractions. The last time I was at an airport, I took notice of how many people had their heads down glued to their phones. Literally no one was talking to anyone else. No one was talking to each other, and no one was actually there. They were inside their phones in the distracted world it creates. We used to play outside on planet Earth. Our bare feet touched grass, mud, sand, and sea. We climbed trees, we chased after fireflies, and we sort of knew what time it was by either our stomachs growling or because you were losing daylight. We spent time with ourselves without distractions. We were present in what we were doing and who we were doing it with. When we were young, we played imaginary games with our friends, rode our bikes, built forts, played hide and seek, and created games that only we knew the rules for. We existed with those other people in those moments together. Nothing distracted us. We remained present with those feelings and those people. We were being mindful. As we grew up, we giggled about people we liked at school. We knew where our crush was going to be at lunch. We made plans for the weekend in person on Friday afternoons. Our moms drove us to the mall to hang out. We listened to our favorite songs in our bedrooms with the doors locked in privacy. We cut out pictures of things we like and stuck them on our walls. oblivious to what was happening down the street or in someone else's house across the country. We stayed within ourselves and our worlds created by the magic of just existing. We were living in a magical time without realizing it, because sometimes we don't see what we have until it's gone, but my goodness, it was magical. Looking back, as someone who was born in the late 70s, I wouldn't trade my awkward childhood for anything. I miss the simplicity of it. As modern technology made its way to, and I'm air quoting, help us, the world took a massive shift. Now, don't get me wrong, moving technology forward for the good of humans in the form of new medicines or machines to detect diseases or technology to help in creating safer transportation, things like that, of course, are beneficial. What I'm referring to now is the technology designed to bring us closer, when in fact, it has brought us further away from both ourselves and each other. I get that it's cool to have a phone that can literally do anything for you, but why do we want that? Why do we want something to do everything for us? Isn't the joy in the actual doing of things? Isn't the joy in figuring things out for ourselves? Cell phones and social media to me have become this weird necessity, and I don't like it. I don't like that as a business owner, I do need social media and that I do need a cell phone. I don't like it. I wish it were different, but it's not. This is the world that we created, so thus I'm having to adapt. Two things can exist at the same time, though. I'm getting closer to being able to balance the ick around needing social media and knowing it's likely here to stay, all the while loving the other mindful practices I have to help keep me grounded and centered. I recently read about the passing of Dolly Parton's husband. Man, I wish I could have met that dude. You want to talk about a flex? Carl Dean, you were a hero among us. He was steadfastly devoted to Dolly, meeting her at a very young age and supporting her for almost 60 years as her husband and partner. He didn't have social media, never made a single post or tweet or reel. He didn't care about money and worked as the owner of his own asphalt paving business. He stayed away from the spotlight because he didn't feel the need to be in it, but my goodness, did he ever let his wife shine in hers. This quiet confidence and the ability to remain who he was right up until the day he died is admirable at the very least. He rarely walked a red carpet with her, rarely photographed with her, and in fact, even when he'd visit Dollywood, he'd buy his own ticket, stand in line like everyone else, and walk through the gate. He didn't try to flex his connection to her in any way. Behind the scenes, he was her actual rock. A bond like that stands the test of time and technology. Carl Dean, while I've never met you, I want you to know how much you inspire me. How much of what we know about you is that's how you intended it. You only gave people access to you when you wanted them to have it. In my mind, you practice mindfulness daily, and this is where I'll take more inspiration. You didn't need any of the external noise. You stayed present with yourself and those closest to you. You see, while technology has created this huge playground for us to be stimulated, it's also made us numb. Numb to our own thoughts. Because from the minute we wake up, we are just bombarded with information, sounds, vibrations, and this weird push to stay on top of what's going on. I know many of us, because I'm included in this, pick up our phones before our feet even hit the floor in the morning, and it gives me the ick. So I've started a mindful practice to not do that, not to feel the need to hear or see or know what has happened since I put it down just a few hours ago the night before. Social media has opened up this world where everyone has access to everything all the time. Life isn't meant to be lived that way. You don't need to tell people all day, every day, what you're doing. I mean, if you want to, go ahead. But people's access to us isn't mandatory. It should only be granted if we want it to be. No one has the right to access us whenever they want. But we're so far removed from that, it's become expected. We are expected to text back or call back or email back right away. And if we don't, we feel the need to explain why. We can stop that. How about we just reset and are more mindful of how we limit the access people have to our time and our energy? I was also someone who used to have the TV on in the background for comfort and noise. Until recently, I stopped doing that. You see, I have two comfort shows, Friends and The Big Bang Theory. And on the weekends, the Comedy Network runs episodes of each back to back to back. And it used to be my comfort to put them on in the background while I did stuff. This is not to say I don't love these shows, because trust me, I still do. What I have learned, though, through being more mindful is this. I asked myself why they were on in the background, and the answer was I needed them for the distraction because it was too quiet. Ever heard someone say, "Man, it's so quiet in here," or "Why is it so quiet in here?" or "Geez, it's too quiet in here"? That is someone who needs to practice a bit more mindfulness. The world is actually quiet, and it's meant to be quiet so we can process feelings, thoughts, and emotions better. We've just done a complete turnaround and incorporated so much distraction that it's the quiet that starts to feel unnatural when it's the other way around. Giving your thoughts, feelings, and emotions a moment to be felt, seen, and heard throughout the day means they won't come at you all at once when you turn those things off. When I started to be more mindful, the one major improvement in my life was my sleep and the quality of it. Because my thoughts and feelings had somewhere to exist during the day, they didn't keep me up at night. I gave them an opportunity to just come and go during the day, so they gifted me with the restful sleep I needed at night. Now, my mindful practice with my comfort shows is that I set out to intentionally watch them. I get snacks, I get comfortable, and I sit and watch them, enjoying being in the moment with those TV shows. Putting things like this into practice can sometimes be hard. I get it. When you've been programmed for so long, doing something else can make you feel a little anxious. So my advice is to start small. For example, if you can, try and get a walk in every day. And it can start as a small 5 or 10 minute walk. Help your thoughts clear and give your physical body some exercise and fresh air. Then, if you want to flex even more, try every other walk or a once a week walk without listening to something in your ears. You'll build up your mindfulness muscle to the point where when you are walking in nature, you won't need anything in your ears because nature is its own music. My walks with my dog are a perfect example of this. While animals in general are so mindful, but for those dog owner listeners, you'll definitely resonate with this. When I'm walking with my dog, not only is she content in the moment with me, but she's so in tune with what she's doing. She's happy to be with me, happy to be in nature, using her nose and sniffing along her jolly way. She stops to smell things and then pops her head up when she hears something. She is present in the exact moment as we are walking. Her paws get to touch the earth and get all that beautiful energy it generates, and she's grounded and connected to herself and the oneness that is. And I never walk her with headphones in, ever. Namely because I actually feel bad to not be connected to her in that moment. I'm not staring down at my phone or checking emails. I'm walking with her. And I listen with her. I hear the rhythmic crunching of the grass or the snow under my feet, the rustling leaves, the creaks and cracks as the trees sway about, birds talking to each other, and if I'm lucky, on the windy days, the actual sensation of change. Ever heard the saying, "The winds of change are coming"? Well, it's true. Wind and water are the most cleansing elements we have available to us. So when I get back from a walk with my dog, I'm so at peace with my day and myself that I'm able to go on to my next task. Children are also a great example of this. Whenever they are doing something and they're constantly pointing out this or that, it's not to annoy you. It's because they are living in the moment, thrilled with what they are seeing and feeling. They are present with those feelings and emotions, and they're simply just letting them flow. They are beautiful, mindful little beings. Coming back to music, a great mindfulness practice is to put it on and connect with it intentionally. Carve out the intention to be with it and to listen to it. Let the sounds, vibrations, and lyrics land with you. Whether it's just sitting with a cup of tea and having it on in the background, or when you're cooking dinner, or when you're cleaning the house, or sometimes when you just want to change your energy and dance a bit. And speaking of dancing, that's also a fun mindful practice. Dance in the joy of things. Dance even in the harder things. Just dance for all of it. When you change your body's energy, you allow it to connect to a different frequency, so it helps move emotions and can get you out of stagnation. It can also help to calm an anxious mind. Since the world can be so overstimulating, Connecting to music with intention can really help center you. If you mindfully connect with music and dancing, you can learn from it. Listening to music allows lots of memories and emotions to come to the surface so that we can see them, feel them, laugh with them, reminisce with them, and then move on from them. When emotions get stored in the body, it can create so many problems for us, medically and physically. So giving them an opportunity to come out and be seen and felt allows you to release them and not carry them around all the time. Music is a huge part of my brother's life. It's legit in his DNA. His passion and love for it runs very deep within him. He owns his own record distribution company and has music playing most of his waking hours. His connection to music is something I've never seen or witnessed in anyone else. I know it brings him so much joy to listen to it, to talk about it, to recommend it, and to continue to learn about it. Therefore, I believe his mindfulness practice already exists with music because it does provide such emotional stability and support for him. He's constantly humming or drumming or singing random lyrics when he's moving about. It's kind of magical to watch. His frequency is tuned in, and I know how much joy it brings him. I share this with you because you'll know what works for you and what doesn't. You'll know if your nature walks, listening to podcasts or music brings you joy, or if you're using it to tune out your thoughts. If it's the latter, then that's all I'm saying. If you use something to drown out your own thoughts and feelings, perhaps a mindfulness practice would be beneficial to you. But if combining two mindful practices together help you stay in the moment, then what a gift. I've had to create boundaries with social media. After finding myself scrolling and scrolling mindlessly for hours, either before bed or when I was bored, I'd come out of the trance, because it's true, guys. When we're scrolling with our head down, staring at this device, we're in a trance. When you come out, sometimes your head hurts, your eyes are tired, and for me, I actually started to feel nauseous. My body was like, girl, can you please stop? This is ridiculous. Here I was watching videos of strangers or reality TV people or crime stories or quick videos of simply weird things people decided to put on the internet. Now I get it. I know not everything in our feed is bad. But regardless, it's meant to keep you in a tranced state so that you aren't actually feeling anything. You're just mindlessly watching other people's worlds. There's a comedian I came across, yes, during one of my scrolling sessions, that I've actually watched a few times now because it's so accurate. He does this bit about how before technology, we were mindful without realizing we were even practicing it. And now we need people to tell us to actually be effing mindful. His name is Des Bishop, and it's a 1 minute, 44 second clip on YouTube that will both make you laugh and go, what the F? He's right. Just type in Des, D-E-S, Bishop. The end of his bit will hopefully have you realizing that as a society, we have become accustomed to being scared of our actual feelings. Like, let's just stay numb and distracted because the alternative is I'm going to actually have to face some shit and feel some shit and, worst case, deal with some shit. Well, shitty as it is, my friends, once you face it and do the work, the reward is tenfold. Once you start essentially doing this shadow work on yourself, you'll start to awaken to who you actually are without distractions. So yes, knowing that social media exists and that I do sort of need it as a small business owner and a podcaster, I have created boundaries with it so I'm being more mindful. I post what I want to post. I, for the most part, stop scrolling altogether unless I have the intention of just sitting for a minute or two because I'm curious. So I'm essentially creating a mindfulness practice with social media. I search what I need to search or research, or if I need inspiration for a project I'm working on, but that's it. That's all I use it for. I still check in on my friends, but I'm more mindful about it. I set some time aside and I'm like, okay, for the next 10 minutes, let's look at all your friends' feeds and stories, and then we're going to move on. I still want to be connected and inspired by them, but I make sure I'm not going down the doom-scrolling rabbit hole. Sometimes I can't even blame my trance or lack of mindfulness on social media or technology. Sometimes I find it's me and my boundaries around my work schedule or my eating habits or my alone time. I can be sitting away at my computer writing or designing or researching and forget to actually eat or check in with myself. And then my body, because I'm more aware of myself these days, will send me little niggles like, girl, get up, go outside, please eat, stretch your legs. Let's be more mindful, shall we? One way it gets my attention is my eyes start to get really dry and I get way more sensitive to the light either from the room or the screen. And I notice it more now. So I stop, change my energy flow, and then I come back to it or I leave it for another time. Mindfulness isn't always something external to us. It can be how we treat ourselves and how much we respect ourselves. I was notorious for not eating when I should be. When I had my corporate grind jobs, I ate a super fast, easy breakfast and then would sit down with a bag of chips and two Diet Cokes around 11 p.m. once I came up for air from my workday. Talk about a lack of mindfulness. I was a zombie. I was on repeat day in and day out, grinding and ignoring my actual self. I'd have headaches and my stomach was a mess, but I'd always say, oh, that's just because of this or that, not for the actual reason, which was my lack of mindfulness around my approach to work. People who overwork and think it's a flex to be the last one in the office or the first one in or come back on a Monday and are like, yeah, I spent the whole weekend here too, are not mindful of the boundary they have with their work and their profession. In fact, there is no boundary. So in this case, the work, the grind, and the need to just go, go, go is creating the trance and the numbness. If you work a lot, there's no time for anything else. So there's no time for you to feel your feelings and your emotions. No time to realize your social life is shit or you have no friends or you are terrified if you stop, people will think you're weak or a slacker. Let me tell you this. For those of you who are currently workaholics, listen closely. It's not a flex at all. We are not here to grind and work and sludge away until there's nothing left of us. I promise you, your soul does not want that, and it's actually crying out to you and begging you to stop the madness and the cycle of repeat. I get it, shit's expensive, and we need to work and keep food in our stomachs and roofs over our heads, but you are not meant to work to the extreme that you are compromising your soul or your health. You're just not. There's a difference between passionately working towards a goal or building a business or something you really care about versus the tranced grind you put yourself in because you're attaching your value to how hard you can grind, how late you stay at the office, or how others see you working away in your little cubicle. Guys, I get it. I was you. I was flexy about that part of my personality. Like, let me sign into Teams so they can see my little icon is green at 7:16 a.m. Yeah, look at me flexing that I'm the first one here. And then shit, yeah, let me flex and be the last one out of here at 9:45. Yeah, look at me. I'm a super diligent worker. Frig that. You want to talk about shadow work? That's a part of it right there. Once I looked at why I was doing that and got to the root of the reasons I needed that flex, it became clear to me it was not actually part of me. It was a way for me to distract myself from feeling anything else. It was external to me. I'll tell you this though, without the mindful practice in place, I wouldn't have recognized it. Now, when it creeps in from time to time, because we are human beings and we aren't a perfect formula, I'm better at recognizing it and adjusting. So all of this to say, taking a mindful approach to your overall life will gift you with improvements tenfold. Will there be work to do? Yes. Will it be worth it? Yes. Taking a look at our shadows is so uncomfortable, but it's only uncomfortable for long periods if you allow it to be. I read recently about the 90-second theory, and I think it's beautiful. While it may not apply to everyone all the time, the theory is so helpful in the long run. Essentially, the 90-second theory is that an emotion we are experiencing only lasts about 90 seconds. Anything longer than that is us choosing to stay in that emotion. It's our ego staying in it, and it's our ego sitting in it. This is why if you let something come to the surface or something surfaces unexpectedly, just feel your way through it for 90 seconds and then release it from your body. It's an emotion. It's not meant to live in you. It's meant to flow through you. The exception to this rule is, of course, the lighter emotions, like peace, joy, love, and happiness. Those are meant to be a part of us always. It's the darker, yuckier stuff that's meant to be filtered through so that the others can remain. If we allow the darker ones to come in and set up camp, it pushes the lighter ones out. So essentially, you're pushing out love and joy and peace, and the darker ones win. Inviting them back into your life becomes harder, but it is possible. So best practice is to sit with it for 90 seconds and then let it go. Easier said than done, but it's liberating and so freeing when you get used to doing it. Someone actually accused me of something a little while ago, and man, did it piss me off. And pissed off is an emotion. And I ended up sitting with it longer than 90 seconds, so it ruined my afternoon. That night, though, I let the pissed off feeling come back to the surface, and I was like, wait, screw that. I know I didn't do what they're accusing me of. I know the truth, so that's on them, not on me. F it. And I spun around the room and pretended to scissor kick that emotion out of my body. Whatever, don't laugh, it worked. And yes, if you want to use that as part of your 90-second rule, I happily share my ninja scissor kicking tactics with you. Just think though, on the other side of that 90 seconds is someone who has grown a wee bit, and that's a win. In closing, while there may be many ways to incorporate mindfulness into your life, you'll choose what works best and feels best for you. But if you need a little guidance, I'll leave you with a few suggestions. Mindful eating, which is sitting down, nourishing yourself without distraction. Yoga and Tai Chi. Journaling, putting your thoughts down on paper. Nature walks where you pay attention to the sights and sounds around you. Morning mindfulness. When you wake up, don't look at any technology for the first 10 to 20 minutes of your day. Just move about and be with your thoughts. Single tasking. I know we glorify multitasking, but single tasking helps you focus on that one thing, bringing yourself present in that moment. Make a gratitude list. Simple, but so effective. Listening. Also simple, but just take a minute to listen to what's going on around you, and it helps bring you back to yourself. And also, when you are with someone, listen to them. Be present with them. Put your phone down and be in the moment with them. If you think you might be a bit nervous about implementing some of these, ask a friend to join you for a mindfulness walk or a cup of coffee. But challenge yourselves for the first few minutes just by existing with each other without saying anything or scrolling on your phone. Sit or walk in the beautiful silence together. It's kind of magical there. Distractions are likely here to stay, and so we need to adapt a bit. We need to remember to be more mindful so that these distractions don't take over our lives and our thoughts. Implement a bit of mindfulness into your life and you'll journey back to yourself. You may even be surprised to see what you find. As always, if you've been Genspired, please leave a comment below. I'd love to hear from you.